Now, if you were not here last night, I want to give you just a real quick recap of what we had talked about, because I'm going to be kind of building on that. Virtues produce actions, and actions cannot produce virtues. For us to train our children the way that we are supposed to, the way that we are supposed to by God's word, it is not always trying to get our children to do all the right things. Sadly, most of us, myself included, this is where we navigate to naturally. We just want our kids to do right. What God wants is something deeper. He wants them to have virtues. And if we work on the virtues will produce the actions. What I want to try and show you tonight is that this area over here is God's domain. This is God's work of presenting and creating in our children the virtues. We work over here in the actions. We deal with our children's disobedience. We deal with them disobeying our commands. And this is where we live. But what we're supposed to be doing is directing and working our children to be over there. And I was asked the question yesterday or today, this is great that I'm supposed to work on virtues, but how do you do that? That's what I want to try and illustrate for you tonight. As parents, how do we create the atmosphere where God can do something amazing in the lives of our children? We're going to start, first of all, with this thought. As parents, our job is to be tending to your child's garden. Learning to be tenders, tending to your child's garden. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7 says this, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruits." What God wants our children to be is a tree. This is our illustration for tonight. The tree. God wants us to be a tree planted by the rivers of water that loseth not its fruit in its season, and its leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever it doeth, it shall prosper, says the word of God in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. God wants our children to be a tree. God gives us that command. So this is the illustration that we're going to use tonight. Your child is going to be illustrated by this tree. Now, I am going to be using an illustration that we find in Scripture. What we're going to do is I am going to read through with you this illustration in the Scripture. It's found in two places. One of those stories in the Scriptures where it's told one time, and then it has a sister passage where it's told another time. The story's the same, you just get a different outlook, a different vision, I guess you'd say, a different understanding of the same story. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the first part, and many of you are going to recognize this. On this first part, I am going to read the odd verses, 5, 7, 9. I want you, together as a crowd, to read the even verses. All right, so my verse goes first in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock." Sorry, that's yours. "And some..." "And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Very good. The sister passage is found in Matthew 13, verse 3. We'll do the same thing. I'll read odd, you read even. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. So this is the parable that Jesus told to the crowd. The disciples later caught Jesus and says, what did that all mean? Can you explain that to us? And so as we continue down in the passage, we're going to read both passages where Jesus explains what we just read. We'll do the opposite this time. I'll start with the even, and then you guys get the odd. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Excellent. All right, now we'll read the sister passage in Matthew chapter 13. First verse is mine. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and this deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, naturally, as parents, as we think about this, we want the last part, don't we? We want a tree that brings forth fruit. We want that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. What we're going to do is we're going to walk through, I'm going to go back through the parts that we just read one by one, and I want to apply them to us as parents. I want to apply them to us as the tenders of the garden. The first person we have is the gardener, the sower of the seed, the worker of the garden. Mom and Dad, that's us. That's our position, is we are to tend the garden. The seed is told in this passage that the seed is the word of God. God's word being given to our children. The reason that's true is because without the word of God, without God himself getting involved, there is no new life. Life is created by the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. The next thing that we're going to see in this illustration is if you take a seed and put it in the ground, it's just going to sit there. It needs something to grow. It needs the living water. That's where Jesus comes in and gets involved in the word that has been planted in the heart, and new life is given when our child trusts in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jesus, the Spirit of God, brings that new life. He's the water. The next thing we're going to look at is the pot. The pot. The pot is going to be an illustration of our home. This is the home in which our child is placed. There is going to come a point in time in your child's life to where they are going to be transplanted from your home and placed completely into the world. Just like you take a plant that's small and it's grown from a seedling in a pot, it's cared for, it's protected inside the pot. At some point in time, the plant is going to be transplanted from the safety of the home and placed out there in the world. That's an example of our home, is the pot. The next thing is the garden itself, or shall we say, the soil, the dirt. This would be an example of all that our children are exposed to, their influences, what they have in and around them. Because as you know, when you take a pot, if you're putting it in a garden, it's not sitting at home, it's placed into a garden, this pot is surrounded by more soil. It's surrounded by more things. There are other things outside of the pot, outside of the home, that can have an influence on our child. But God gives us the home to protect our child. But all this soil is just the illustration of all the things that our child is exposed to, all its influences. The tree, of course, is our child itself. And then, as you think about the tree, we all know that a tree is just what we see on the top. Below it are the roots. The roots is an example of your child's heart. This area over here where virtue is learned in the heart. The roots are what our child's heart digs into. We want them to dig into the virtues of Christ. We want them to dig into those things. That's our goal, to have their hearts in love with their Savior. Let's look through these examples that we read through the passages that we read together. The first thing is the example of a home that has no desire to please Christ. Possibly the parents are not saved themselves. They don't attend church. They don't do much as it comes to spiritual things. And the dirt is hard. And the seed is cast. God's word is cast, but it gets trodden down. Those passing by in the busyness of life just trods it down. And the seed can never take root. Our child never gets saved because the surroundings that they're in are so hardened. The scripture tells us that we need to break up our fallow ground. This would be an example of a home that God casts his seed, maybe through a song, maybe through somebody that they got invited to a vacation Bible school for, and they heard the word of God, but it just never could get into their heart. No roots were created. There was never any new life. That's the first thing we see. The second thing we see is the raven. Now, I don't have a raven. I have a sumo duck. Sumo duck! That's sumo duck. Sumo duck is going to be our raven stand-in. Sumo duck, the raven, is the example of a home controlled by the devil. The devil has control of this home. The devil decides what comes in and what comes out. And the moment anything from God's word gets close to that home, it's snatched up. It's swallowed. It's taken before it can take any root in the home. Mom and dad, this is not the home we want, is it? This is not the kind of example of a home that we want. We don't want to have the raven, the devil, always there in our home, looking, waiting for God's word to make some kind of impact to where it can be gobbled. Sumo duck makes a perfect illustration. He's fat because he eats all the seeds. So that's why sumo duck works for this. The next illustration we see is we see that not only can we have a home, not only can we provide a home that is so hardened that nothing can ever get in, a home that is controlled by the devil where the seeds of God's word never can make an impact, but we can have a home where the soil is filled with rocks, stony ground. Do roots dig into rocks? No. Roots don't dig into rocks. Our homes can be so filled with rock that most of the time our children might not be saved. They could be. The illustration shows that in stony ground, there is an ability for the child to accept and receive the word of God. And new life is given and they spring up. But what ends up happening to them? They end up withering away because they have no roots. One of the things that the scripture says, which is such a beautiful picture, is it says that they die because the roots lacked moisture. If you took and filled half of this pot with stones, and then you took the other half and tried to put in some good soil, and then you started giving the Spirit of God, you know what's going to happen? The stones are going to cause that water to just immediately sink. The roots are never going to get down to it. They can't get through the stones. So a home that has stones, what do those stones represent? The story told us. Temptation, tribulation, persecution. You see, in all of our homes, we have the danger of stony ground. Some are going to be larger than others. Some are going to be smaller. But inside our home, if we allow it, if we allow the stony ground, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will continue to keep our children from being able to get anything from the Word of God, because they're being choked. They're being drowned in dryness. They can't get the water of life because there's too many things like anger inside their home. There's too many things like bitterness inside their home. There's too many things that hinder their roots from receiving what the Spirit of God has for them. Mom and Dad, this is an example of what our homes could be like. And I fear that so many of our children, they get saved and they get born again and there's new life there. But as they try and as they attempt to sink their roots into the Word of God, they can't get past all of the things inside the home that block them, that tempt them, that draw them away from the Word of God. That's the stony ground. The next thing that God's Word gives us is what I found at the store today. Now, I picked this up and paid money for it. I shouldn't have, but I did. This right here is a tree planted in a home. And you want to know what it's filled with? Weeds. Everywhere you look, there are weeds. This is not part of the tree. This is weeds. It's hard to dig into this pot and find the soil because there's so many weeds. Our homes, we can not only have the danger of having the devil so close to our homes that he's lurking, stealing the Word of God from our children. We have to defend against having soil that is so hard that God's Word can't get in there. The children can't understand what the Word of God says. It never can take root. We not only have the danger of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, sin that is found within our home that keeps our children from growing to what they should be, but we also have the danger of these weeds. The dangers of the weeds that grow right along with the plant and steal the love, the heart, the roots away from this tree, and they literally choke it to death. You've seen a vine as it grows around a plant and begins to cover the plant, and the weeds' leaves begin to grow larger than the plant's leaves, and the tree can no longer receive the things that it needs, and the weeds choke our children away. What are those weeds? The cares of this world. We can have a home where our children grow up right next to a weed, always concerned over the things of this world. What kind of car do we drive? What kind of house do we live in? Hey, your kids know what importance those are to you. And those cares of those the world will start to grow and start to choke them out. Not only the cares of this world, but the deceitfulness of riches. We can have a home to where our children are growing up in a home where they attend church, but there's a weed growing amongst their home. There's a weed there of riches and its deceitfulness, and they begin to think that if I just made more money, I wouldn't have to deal with the problems we had in my home. That's deceitful riches. We all know as adults that riches are not going to buy everything you need, but our children will have that root, and they will be choked away by the deceitfulness of riches. They will be choked away by the pleasures of this world. Oh, it's possible to have a quote-unquote Christian home, but have growing inside this potted plant, inside the home, a pleasure of this world. It's not sin, it's just a pleasure that is growing out of control. Mine, I told you about already. I love video games. It'd be very easy for me to take in my home and allow the pleasure of playing video games to grow so important and take so much of my time that then my child has that same weed growing in his life. And it begins to choke him, and it begins to take away his love from what the Word of God wants it to be. And then we get the illustration that we all want, the good soil, the good ground, what we want to have, where our children not only hear the Word, but they understand the Word, they keep the Word, and they bear much fruit with patience. This is the illustration. I started thinking about this illustration, and I started looking deeply at my own home. And you know what I found in my own home? Is sometimes it's stony. Sometimes it's covered in weeds. And sometimes I let the devil into my home when he shouldn't be there. Moms and dads, here's what we need to do. Do you want to have a home that's got the good soil? That is exactly what God wants it to be, so that God can begin working with your child. I love this illustration because a gardener goes out there and he tends the garden. And does the gardener have anything to do with the growth of the plant? Not a thing. He doesn't grow the plants. He tends to the garden. He has no control over how large, how strong, or how fruitful the tree is going to be. He only controls tending the garden. A gardener knows that if he is tilling the soil and he finds a huge stone, he knows he needs to remove that stone from the garden because that stone is going to hinder the growth of the plants. A gardener knows that as he's walking through his garden, if he sees the weeds, he needs to pluck the weeds. A gardener knows that if he sees birds hanging around, that he needs to do something about it because they're going to destroy the plants. But does he do anything to make the plant grow? Does he stand out there going, grow? No. He does nothing. You know who a gardener trusts to bring the growth of a plant? A God in heaven. He trusts God to do what God has promised he would do. He knows that if I plant the seed and I water the seed and I control the stones and I control the weeds and I get the devil out, that God has promised he will make it grow. He doesn't trust in his own abilities. He does his job and trusts God to do the work. Parents, he does his job getting his children to do the right things. And he points his children to God and says, God, do the work I can't do. God, I can't make my children fall in love with you, but I know your word can. He tends and cares for his garden. Moms and dads, you know what we need to do? The first thing we need to do is we need to go home and we need to get a baseball bat. We need to go home and we need to walk into our home and say, devil, get out! Get out of my home! This is not your home! Get out! We need to stand at the doors of our home with a baseball bat and say, get out! That's what we need to do. Moms and dads, if you don't, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he finds a dad that doesn't care, he's got an open door. Dads, when he finds a father that is not willing to scream and shout and beat the devil out of his home, then the devil has an open door. The first thing we need to do, we need to get a baseball bat. We need to make the devil know this is not his home. This is not his domain. And we got to get him out. The second thing we got to do is it's time to get the shovel. It's time to go into our home and honestly start digging in our home. Put some work into our home and say, God, do I have any stones in my garden? God, do I have any sins that I have allowed into my home that shouldn't be here? Moms and dads, let me tell you something. When you start digging for some of these stones, you're going to find that your kids' roots have already started wrapping around them. You're going to find that your kids have already started dealing with those sins that you've allowed into your home. And you're going to be tempted to say, if I start digging around that and try pulling it out, I'm going to be cutting some roots of my kid, and he might not like it. And you're going to be tempted to say, that root will be okay. That stone's fine right there for right now. It's not making that big of an impact. I can ignore that one. Hey, mom and dad, if you don't get that root out now, one day when you go to pull your plant from your home, you're going to find that its roots are so wrapped around that stone, so wrapped around that lust of the flesh, that lust of the eyes, that pride of life, so entangled in his roots that it's never coming out. And who's responsible for having it there? You are. It's your home. That problem is there because it's your home. It's time to get the shovel out and say, son, daughter, I know you love this, but it's wrong. And it's time to do the hard work to get it out. And can I tell you, sometimes you're going to come across a stone that's small, and you pull it out and you went, well, that wasn't so bad. That didn't hurt my child that much. They're not that mad at me. This worked out well. And then there's sometimes you start digging in the ground and it just looks like a little pebble. But the more you dig, the bigger you realize it is. Mom and dad, don't stop. Keep digging. Go get a backhoe if you need to and get those stones out. Get those temptations for your children out of your home. We need to get the shovel. We need to get the bat. We also need to get the work gloves on. We need to take the time and the effort and the care to get down on our hands and knees and say, God, I don't want my child to fail. God, show me. Are the deceitfulness of riches taking hold in the life of my child? Have I allowed that to start coming into my home? It's in the influences around them. It's all over the place. They see anything on TV, and all they see is commercials about wanting more and wanting more. God, help me to pull them out. Help me to get on my hands and knees and work and try and pull and pry and get those weeds out of the garden, because I don't want them destroying my child. I'm going to get down on my hands and knees, and I'm going to pull, and I'm going to try to pull out every single one of those weeds, the weeds of the cares of this world. Does my child see me really only spending all my time trying to get a better vehicle? Is that all they see me care about? Is that what they have around them? Is just the cares of this world, always wearing the nicest clothes? I have nothing wrong with those things. The problem is it a weed that has grown out of control that needs to be plucked from our garden, from our home? We need to pull the weeds of the pleasures of sin. Is there something that you're allowing to grow in your home that you know is wrong, but you think it's not a big problem? Hey, it might be over here in the garden. It might be hidden. It might be way over here in your child in his little pot, protected pot. He doesn't even know. But you know what weeds do? Weeds travel. And you might think you're protecting it over here, Mom and Dad. But that weed's going to send a little seed over there. And it's going to start growing in your child. And guess who's responsible? The gardener is. Because he didn't pull it out from the garden. He allowed that weed to grow. It's your job as the gardener. We get the bat. We get the shovel. We get the work gloves out. And then we come over and we start getting the pruning shears. There are times in our children's lives to where they're not quite who they need to be. And God's going to direct us to do something, to make a change that they're not going to like. And God's going to want us to cut and prune our child. What does that mean? That means we're going to look at our child and we're going to see an action that they need to start doing that they don't want to do necessarily. And we know that actions will not produce the virtues. But we also know that if my child is saying he doesn't want to attend Sunday school anymore, that if I don't bring him over here to Sunday school, he's probably not going to get the water that he needs. So I produce an action not to produce a virtue, but an action to get him under the Spirit of God, where God can work. My action is not going to produce the virtue I want. My pruning action, my changes produce an environment where God's glory, God's Holy Spirit can work in the life of my child. Moms and dads, this is our job. This is what we are commanded to do, to be tenders of the garden. Can I be honest with you and tell you that I know already that there's some weeds that have crept into my home. I know that there's some stones that I need to get out. I know that I have sometimes been lax at chasing the devil out of my home. And I know there have been times I've left him an open door because I wasn't man enough to scream and shout and chase him away. Mom and Dad, I'm trying to help you. I want your home to be a home where God looks at and says, I can work with that home. Oh, I can do something there. Oh, they're putting their child right where I want them. They're pulling the weeds. They're removing the stones. They're chasing the devil out. I can do something with that child. And you want to know something? Listen to me. I love this. I love this. Not only has God said that that's what he wants, but God has promised that that's what he'll do. I am dumb enough to believe God's word still to this day. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, hey dads, that's you, that's me. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want you to notice, is God saying to bring them up in your nurture and admonition? No. He's saying bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let God do his work in the heart of your child. Your job is not to change your child's heart. Your job is not to give your child the virtues that he needs. Your job is to tend to the garden and allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your child's heart. And the Holy Spirit of God will start to produce love, joy, peace. That's his job. Long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what God's wanting to do. That's what God wants to have happen. But he can't do it because our homes are so full of stones and weeds, and the devil has control, and we sit in our Sunday seat and do nothing about it. We pretend my home is beautiful. It's walled by a beautiful ivy garden, and you can't see anything inside. God knows what's in your home. God sees below the surface of your garden, and he knows how many rocks are hindering your children's growth. God knows the weeds that are growing in your garden. God knows how often the devil is floating about in your garden, stealing the seeds of the word of God. That's hypocrisy, by the way. Children go, and they hear the word of God and the truth of the word of God from the word of God, from the preacher's mouth, and then they come home and say, it's not that way in my home. Boom! The devil snatched another seed because it can't take root. Moms and dads, God wants us to train our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, as his servants, there are going to be times God's going to use us to apply that nurturing hand. God's going to use us to apply that admonition. I understand that. But it's not to be ours. It's to be his. We raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We place them where they're supposed to be. Now get this. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Does that sound like a promise to you? That sure sounds like a promise to me. God has promised that if we train our children the way that he commands us to have them follow after the virtues of righteousness, godliness, then God will promise us that when they are old, they will not depart from it. That means when I remove my plant from my home, they might struggle, they might have some problems, but they're going to be a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and their leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. That's a promise from the God of heaven that says if you plant the seeds and water the seeds and tend the garden, I will make it grow. I will do what you can't do. I will play in your child a love that you will never understand. I will give them a peace that passeth all understanding because he's God and he can do it, and I believe it. The question is to you. The question is, do you believe God enough that you'll get to work? Hey, dads, where's your baseball bat? Where's your baseball bat? When's the last time you went toe-to-toe with the devil and said, this is my house, get out? When's the last time, Dad? When's the last time, Mom, you went to your garden and as you were working, you saw that stone? You know it's a temptation for your child. You know it's wrong. You know it shouldn't be there.
Let's just cover it up with a little bit more dirt. Let's just ignore it for a little while longer. Oh, it's going to be hard work. It's time to get the shovel out. When's the last time, Mom and Dad, you honestly went through the heart of your home and said, are the cares of this world too important to my home? Are the pleasures of this world taking over my home? Do my children know that in my home God comes first? Or do they think it's football? Do the children in my home think that God comes first? Or is it a video game? When's the last time you pulled out those work gloves and said, it's time for me to get to work in my home? It's time for me to get on my hands and knees because I love my child. And they might not like it sometimes, and my home might be a mess, and I might have a lot of work to do, but my child is worth it. I heard a beautiful illustration from that preacher over there as he was talking about a Christian school. Myself, I'm the tender of my garden. It's my choice. I'm not telling you this has to be your choice. It's your garden. You do what you feel like you need to do. But in my garden, I can't give the influence of a public school. I can't do it. I know how many things are wickedness there. I know. No, I'm blessed. I have what most people don't. I have the world's best teacher that I married. And so I can have my children trained at home and have them protected in the walls of my home. And I'm thankful for that. And a lot of people don't have that. But I heard Dr. Carter, as he explained, I know that sending a child to a Christian school is expensive. But when you really think about it, it's not. Because when I send them to the public school, the cost is the soul of my child. The cost is that my child is going to have rocks chunked into his garden. The cost is that my child is going to have weeds begin to tangle around his roots. The cost is too great. And I care about my child too much. Moms and dads, God has promised that if we train our child in the way they should go, and let me just reiterate this real quick, that's not doing all the right things. You can send your child to a Christian school. You can send your child to a church every Sunday. You can send your child to their room to read their Bible every morning. All those actions will not produce the virtues that God wants. Those actions will draw them closer. But when they come home to a home filled with all this junk, they might take root, but it's shallow. And the sun of this world's wickedness will beat upon our children, and the storms of this world's problems will rage against our child, and they might look okay when we pull them out of our home, but when we place them in the world, we find that their roots were wrapped around the wrong things. We find that the weeds are choking them. Hey, moms and dads, why do we look around our churches and see our children being lost to the world? Because we don't have tenders of our children's gardens.